I was talking about the process of transformation, and I said that it starts first of all with realization and then determination and then efforts. I also mentioned other factors, but under this head, namely effort, I was mentioning what are the facilitatory factors. After having discussed realization and determination, I was continuing with the discussion of the facilitatory factors which make our efforts for transformation fruitful. What I was trying to point out was that there are certain points in our consciousness. If they are touched, if those centers are activated, then our process of transformation becomes speedier, quicker, it takes place. And I had mentioned about 9 or 10 of them. Now I will continue further. I had discussed faithfulness, and I had said that we should have faith in Baba, His knowledge and so on. I was saying that we should have faith in so many things, and we should also have faith in goodness. Sometimes it so happens that when there are difficult circumstances and we find that the world is adopting vilest of ways, evil ways, we think to deal with a situation, good means cannot be fruitful, cannot be successful. Therefore, we want to take the worldly ways, as other people do. But Baba says, being Brahmins and yogis, our every action should be different from others. It should have spirituality. It should have divinity. And sometimes we cease to be divine and want to deal with situations in a laukic way, not spiritual way, because our faith in goodness weakens. We should have deep faith in goodness. We should never give up goodness, being good towards others and doing good towards others and being good ourselves. It is ultimately the truth and the goodness which comes out victorious. Let us understand that laukic means are not leading finally to victory. The success achieved through the worldly ways, when I say the worldly ways, I mean those ways which have the touch of body consciousness or any one of the 6 evils, they cannot lead us to perfection, to complete happiness. They can never solve all our problems. People have been trying to solve problems by various ways, and what we find is that when they begin to solve a problem, even if that problem is partially solved, it gives rise to other many problems. So instead of solving one problem, they give birth to other problems. That is the very nature of the laukic ways. If you try to solve anything, giving up divinity, giving up goodness, thinking that this is the speedier way, the shortcut, or it will give you easy success, without goodness it cannot be. You cannot have complete satisfaction. So we adopt those kind of manners and ways only when we lose our faith in goodness. Sometimes we cease to become good when we see others are not good. They are not playing the fair game with us. We think that everything is fair in love and war, as they say. So we can take any means, any steps. That is also symbolic of a symptom of our weak faith in goodness. And we are establishing a world order where goodness and virtue are the basis. Therefore, never should our faith in goodness weaken. If anyone ceases to be good to us, that is no reason why we should not be good to that person. Because ultimately, it is for our own good that we should be good. And it is for the best of the world, betterment of the world, that we should be good. When Mahatma Gandhi died, he was killed by the bullet of an assassin, Bernard Shaw of England. He said that many comments were published in newspapers. Who said that on that occasion? He said, it is bad to be too good. That was his typical way of saying things. He was a great writer, a great novelist, author, very famous in that field. And therefore he worded his comments like this: it is bad to be too good. Is that so? That again shows a little bit of loss of faith in goodness. And I think even if Mahatma Gandhi died, his goodness survived. So never forget that the person may die, but the idea does not die. If the idea is good, your thoughts are good, your actions are good, it is only they will live forever. So never have your faith weakened in goodness, and in thought, speech and action. This kind of faith. Now another thing, I mentioned 9 already, now the 10th is, I have to be brief because I have to take other things also, because otherwise it will go on endlessly. The 10th is obedience. Baba says, you are my obedient children. Obedience is a virtue which brings transformation. Unless and until you obey Baba, obey his Shrimat, obey his commandments, how can we transform ourselves? Because we do not know what is good for us, what is not good for us. It is he who enlightens us on this. And whatever he says is command, an order, a suggestion, an advice for our own betterment. And it is therefore in our own interest to obey him. It is one of the main things. And I find it is very rewarding in the sense it brings quick transformation. I have perhaps told my own story sometime back, that when I first came to the institution during my first visit, Baba asked that I should write a letter addressed to the President of India. And in that letter I should invite him to this institution, saying that God is doing his work. Now it was the night time and Baba asked us to show that letter in the morning. There were many others also in that class. One of them was a member of parliament, another one was the general manager of a corporation, and another one was a superintendent in some office. There were many other people, one professor in a university. They also had said that they would write. They had raised their hand when Baba asked them. But when we went back to our rooms, it was about 10 by that time, and suddenly the light went off. And we thought that we cannot write. So we will tell Baba in the morning that we could not write because there was no light. And I said, no, I will certainly write. Because Baba is Trikaldarshi, and being Trikaldarshi, he asked us to show it in the morning. I will certainly write. They laughed at me, saying, do I have the cat's eyes that I would write in darkness? How can I do? The cat does not write. But what I mean to say is, have I that kind of a vision so that I can see in the darkness? But I was determined. This is the first commandment of Baba to me, my Sadguru, my teacher, my father, my guide, my beloved. And it will give me a habit of disobeying him for one reason or the other. Always making excuses. If I make excuse that there was no light, then on other occasions in future, I would make another excuse. This was the reason I could not follow Baba's commandment. I must do because Baba has asked me to do. So I went on the roadside, and in the street light I was awake whole night and I wrote the letter because it is Baba's commandment. And it was on that next morning when Baba said, you will be the chief spokesman of the institution. You will write the literature of the institution. I did not anticipate all this. So he gave me this vardhan just by simply obeying him, this first obedience to him. So later on I found from my experiences, in many experiences in fact, how rewarding is obedience. When you obey your seniors, those who are your well-wishers, those who want to give you some good advice for your own betterment, this is something which is really, which brings transformation in us. Someone has misbehaved with us. We tell our seniors that is the case. And they say, alright, okay, you forget about it. Even if that person is done. I say, why should I forget about it? Instead of telling that person to behave in future, you are asking me to forget about it. You are being partial. This is no justice. But I don't know that in the first instance I am disobeying my seniors. if that man misbehaved with me, I am misbehaving with my seniors. So this is a misbehavior on my part also. My attitude of obedience to my seniors and to most of all to Bab Dada. If Bab Dada says something, it is the most important commandment for me. Many such occasions have come. Once Baba asked me to get something printed within 4 days. And within those 4 days, not only the thing should be printed, it should reach all service centers. Now, how can I build castles in the air? I have no press. I have to go to somebody and ask him to print it for me. And I have not yet written. And I do not know what is to be written. I have not thought about it. Within 4 days, I have to write it, to fare it, and then to go to the press. There should be typesetting and how many pages it becomes. We have to purchase paper, get the stitching, so on. And then it should reach the service centers. How is it possible? Baba looked into my face. Baba said, every day a new newspaper comes and you can't print this small thing. You see, a big newspaper of so many pages comes and you are looking blank. You are feeling perplexed. Can't you print this? And I thought, when Baba is saying, it must happen, I must go. So the first thing I did was, I went to the manager of a press, to the proprietor of a press, asked him whether he could help me. He was a hardcore communist, atheist. He did not believe in God. He said, when do you want it? I said, within 2 days. Because 2 days I wanted to keep to make packets, to write addresses, send to people, so that it reaches the center. And I have not yet written. And within the 2 days, I want the thing printed. How funny it is. So he asked me, when I will like to have it? I said, within the 2 days. He laughed at me. And he said, it cannot be before three months. Because already he has so many orders. It was a big press. He alone could do it because he had that kind of machinery. And then I spoke to him, looked into his eyes, looked at his face. I spoke to him in a straightforward way. I said, look, people have told me that you are an atheist. You are a communist. You have your own views. But I come to you to help me on humanitarian grounds. Because I have come on the commandment of someone whom I believe is God. The very opposite of your belief. Now, even if you are a communist or an atheist, but you are a human being. I am also a human being. After all, we have some human relationships, beliefs apart. Can you keep them aside for a moment? If you were in my place and someone who is God to you, he gives you a work, what will you do? I know that you have orders for 3 months, but in this situation, as I am placed, what would you do? Then he realized. He said, okay, if that is the case, I don't believe in any God. But if there is someone who is God for you, on humanitarian grounds, I help you. Okay, where is the manuscript? But I had not written. If I had told him that I don't have the manuscript, he would have asked his peon to see me out, you see. That I am being non-serious. But I told him, you are a busy man, you busy with your own work, tell your manager that he should fulfill this assignment. So he asked his manager to take charge of the job and to get the manuscript and other things. Now the manager did not know the whole story. What is what? He asked me, where is the manuscript? I said, first of all, you ask the person who will typeset to be ready. And I have to give you the manuscript. He will not be delayed. I go on giving it to you, you see. Then I called Brother Vishwaratan to the press with a typewriter. I went on jotting down. He went on typing. We did not even revise. I went on giving to the press. The whole night we were in the press, awake, because otherwise... So we were competing with the machines. On one side are human beings, on the other side are the machines. The latest machinery. We were doing that and ultimately we went to the railway station, met some passengers who were going to various destinations, requested them if they could deliver to our various centers, and we got the news that they were delivered. Things are already being done. But you have only to believe that when Baba says you should do it, it will be done. It is possible. He would not ask you to do impossible things. The only thing is that you have to obey. And if you obey, you get the credit. And you take the chance, you become the chancellor. And this transformation, I could give up sleep, I could be alert, I could be awake, I could be churning knowledge, I could be writing, I gave up other negative thoughts. It was a transformation process taking place. Though outwardly I was doing some service, some job, but the process of transformation also was taking place. So what I meant to say was that this obedience is something which is very essential. For Baba says, come to the class daily. Now I say, what is the fun? I have taken 1 week course, I understand the elementary, the basis, the fundamentals of knowledge. I have understood what Baba wants to say. In essence, I understand everything. So what is the fun in winter, in summer, in storm, in whatever be the nature and the circumstances, daily to go to the classes? But the very first thing is, if you disobey Baba on this point, then next time you disobey him in another regard, third time you disobey him in another point, and you are gone. A day will come when you are gone. So the first thing is to obey, because whatever Baba says is for our own good, it's for our own betterment. And sometimes we don't realize when Baba says, sweet children, loving, beloved children, when Baba says children, we are happy Baba says children. Even persons of 80 years, 85 years age, when everyone calls them uncle, or you see, by some other relationship, they think that Baba calls us children, so this gives them new energy, new stamina, new life. They feel very happy. So each one of us, whether one is elderly in age, or young in age, or just a child, Baba calls everyone as child, irrespective of the age, physical age. But we don't realize that when Baba calls us as children we are to be obedient to our father. As children we are to be obedient to our father. We only understand the love aspect of it, Baba is loving us. But what should be our response to this epithet of Baba? When Baba calls us the children, it means we are supposed to obey him. Every right has a duty. It implies a duty. So if we are the right to be called children of God, then we have also the duty of obeying God as our most beloved father. Then Baba says, you are the students. The students are expected to obey the teachers. Baba says, I am your Sadguru. We are expected to obey as his disciples, as his followers, because he is our Sadguru. Baba says, it is a non-violent spiritual army of Shiv Shaktis, of Pandavas. Now, every army has a discipline. Every soldier must be obedient. Else it cannot be a disciplined army. It cannot be victorious. There will be anarchy. So, as soldiers, spiritual soldiers of the Salvation Army, Baba generally calls it Salvation Army, which gives salvation to other souls who are getting drowned in evil, in vices, we are supposed to be obedient to our captain, to our commandment, to our major general. Then, another thing is, if we don't obey Baba, whom do we obey? After always there is a hierarchy. There is someone, there is another one who is above us. There is another one who is above him. There is yet another one who is above him. Even in the family, one is a senior brother, one is a senior sister, then there is the mother, then there is the father, or both of them as parents, then there are grandparents. After all, there are someone always in this order. There is some kind of a protocol. And in order that some discipline must be observed, there should be some kind of an organized system. There has to be obedience. Things have to go through proper channel. And they have to be worked out in a systematic fashion. So when that is the case, we are to be obedient. If we are not obedient to Baba, then who is our boss? To whom we are obedient? Whose orders are we going to fulfill? To whom we hold ourselves responsible? We cannot change unless and until we hold ourselves or answerable or responsible to someone. There should be someone who holds responsibility to check us up, to whom we can approach and say, well, this is our chart, what do you have to say? And what is the further advice for us to follow? So, therefore, we have to be obedient. Because if we are not obedient to God, then we are obedient to Maya, or we are obedient to our personal opinion, our own whims and fancies. as Manmat, Baba says it. Either Manmat or Gurumat or Shastramat, that is the opinion of Laukik Gurus or Laukik scriptures or Maya or the opinion of the own mind. Because obedience has to be there. If not the obedience of God, then obedience of any one of these kinds. Maybe some other philosopher, maybe some other leader. We have to be obedient to someone after all. And since we have tried all, we have experienced life after life, where they have led us to, what is our present condition, I think this is the first lesson we should learn, that they have put us into chains. We have lost our divinity, our sublimity by following them. And therefore, this is the first decision which we should make. When we begin to transform ourselves, the first decision in our mind is that we are not going now to obey all these Manmat, Manushmat, Gurumat, Shastramat, or this the mat, the opinion of the leaders, but we are going to follow only one, Shiv Baba, who is the perfect one. And Baba says, I am your spiritual guide, I am your panda. I know the path. I know the ups and downs of this spiritual effort. I can therefore guide you. Like a person who takes travelers, those who want to, I mean the tourists, to various spots, they guide them, here you should do this, here you should do that, because they are aware of what is happening where. Similarly, Baba says, on your path to Paramdham, on your path to paradise, on your path to spiritual progress, I am your panda, your spiritual guide. Therefore, we have to obey him. Now, this was the 10th, obedience. Even Baba says, I am your most obedient servant. How much humility Baba has. Baba says, I am your most obedient servant. In Sindhi, sometimes Baba says in the Murli, Main gulam, main gulam, main gulam tera. Dear children, I am your most obedient servant. And in response, we say, Baba, Main gulam, main gulam, main gulam tera. Baba, I am your most obedient servant. What you have to say is a commandment for me. I will certainly obey it. Then another, the 11th is the knowledge of the identity and also the knowledge of our responsibility. Unless and until we know our identity, this is actually the first lesson which we are given in 7 days course. What is our identity? But I think that does not finish. The knowledge about our identity goes on till the end. In every Avyaktvani, Baba gives us a new dimension of our identity. Our identity in a new perspective. Therefore, he finishes every Avyaktvani by giving us some titles, some epithets, which speak of our new identity. Sometimes Baba, for example, would say, you are Adharmurt and Uddharmurt. You are the pillars, the foundation stones of the coming new world order. And it is on you that new era depends. And you are also the Uddharmurt. You are the people who are to bring transformation of the world, world transformation. You are to work out the transformation of all the other human souls and to lead them to salvation. That is your responsibility. That is your work. That is what Baba has assigned to you. Now, when he says you are Adharmurt and Uddharmurt, we are souls, all of us. But as souls, we have different responsibilities. Each one of us has different role. And there are some roles which are common to all. This, for example, is our responsibility. When we understand that the world is not destroyed because we are not ready. In one of the Murlis, Baba said, some children ask me, Baba, when will destruction take place? So I asked them, the destruction can take place, but are you ready to go in the golden age? Have you already divinized yourself completely? Have you now all the divine qualities in you? So Baba gave the example of the actors of a drama. And if they are not ready, and someone pulls the curtain apart, someone is putting on the pajama, and another one is putting on the sari, and another one is just using the cosmetics to prepare the proper face, and someone pulls the curtain apart, what you are doing? We are not ready, they will say. So Baba says, you are not ready. Therefore, I am not pulling apart the curtain of the last scene. That destruction means the last scene of this kalpa. That will take place only when you are ready for the new episode, new start of new plot. But you are not ready. So, if we realize that all this is happening because we are not ready, so we will try to speed up our process of transformation. Sometimes Baba says, you are the seeds. As the seeds, so is the fruit. Each one of you is a seed. Because you are creating, you are giving this knowledge to others. And knowledge is like seeds, which you are sowing in their minds. They will transform themselves, change themselves, depending upon what seeds you are sowing in them, the way you are sowing in them, the quality which you are sowing in them, the divine virtues which you are sowing in their minds. So Baba says, you are the seeds. Earlier Baba used to say that you should make people apsaman, like you, yogis like you, Brahmins like you. But since we are not perfect, then Baba stopped saying this. Baba said you should make others like Baba, Bapsaman, not Apsaman. Because if you make them Apsaman, then not only will you transfer your good qualities into them, but also your bad qualities also into them. So he said it is better that you keep in mind you have to make them Bapsaman, like father, not Apsaman, not like yourself. But even if we want to make them Bapsaman by our interaction, we are influencing them, no doubt. And we are sowing the seeds all the time in their minds. So if we think that we have to improve ourselves, our sanskaras, change them, so that the seeds are better, the fruit would be better. So we should look in that light and try to qualify ourselves and improve ourselves. And in many murlis, Baba says, you should work like samples and examples. Because like a company, which manufactures certain goods and puts some pieces into the showcase. Well, this is the product. These are the goods which we are producing. The best of the lot, so that someone chooses them, accepts them. As good salesmen, as good trades persons, we have to produce the best samples so that they become acceptable to the people. It becomes a saleable commodity. And people, when you tell them, it is God who is giving us this knowledge, how will they accept? Unless and until they find that transformation in ourselves. If we are happy, if we are contented, if we are pure, if we have balance of mind, if we don't have tension and depression, if we have peace in our life, if our behavior and manner is high class as compared to others, then people want to ask themselves, how come you have attained this stage? You are very different from others. Then we can glorify Baba and say, well, it is through his knowledge, it is what he revealed to us, that enabled us to attain this stage. And then, therefore, they accept it. It is not only that by arguments, by rational approach, you can explain things to people. That remains only at the intellectual level. You have to demonstrate it from your life, from your practical acts. Actions, they say, speak louder than words. One ounce of practice is better than a ton of knowledge, as they say. So when, as practical yogis, we become samples and examples unto others, then only people accept it. And therefore, when we think that is our responsibility, to demonstrate it from our practical life, then we want to transform and change our sanskaras. Then the 12th is creativity. That is an urge in almost all, in one form or the other. Everyone wants to create something, in thought or in deed, in action or in imagination. One may be a poet, one may be a pot maker, one may be an artist, one may be a scientist, one may be a laborer, one may be an architect. All want to create. We have that ability, that quality. We want to create. Even the small children take some sand and want to build the houses, the castles, other things, because they have that imagination. And that imagination leads us physically to create something in our mind, first of all, and then to put it into some concrete shape, some concrete form. Now, that urge being there, Baba touches that center in us and says, you are master creators. Now, why to create all these small things? Create something durable, something lasting, something of value, something good for all. And that is the creation of the golden age. He says, you are master creators. You are master Brahma. You are children of Brahma. And as Brahmins, you are the master creators. So when we use our creativity in that way, then our negative things begin to get transformed. Because those thoughts are now occupied with better visions. And in order to materialize those visions, we try to act in that way. And that automatically brings positively the change in our sanskaras. In other murlis, Baba says, make best out of the waste. Now this is another kind of creativity. What do Japanese people, for example, do earlier in period? The paper which we used to throw away, they would give color to it and make tires out of it, beautiful tires, and sell them. Recycle things. And create new forms, new shapes, new articles, new objects. Produce new goods out of things which were discarded by people, thrown by people. Nowadays people make riches from rags because they want to use even the rags, even the waste things, and they want to use it for some other purpose. That is another form of creativity. Baba says, this is what you have to do. Whatever is the worst, you have to make it the best. Then another thing which Baba says is, create your own fortune. You are the maker of your own fortune. You are trying to create, make some toys. Of what lasting value are they? Try to make your fortune. Try to visualize what your future is. And try to give it a concrete form. And that when we begin to do that, naturally we have to change our sanskaras. It gives us a new channel, opens us a new channel for spending our energy, for using our thought, for using our creativity in that direction. Then the process of transformation takes place. Now I come to the 13th, which is perfection or excellence. Whenever we see someone doing something, we always have some suggestions for improvement. We find that it had some kind of shortcomings, some weaknesses. What does it show? It means we always are thinking of perfect things. Every one of us has some image of perfection. Someone speaks, another person speaks. We say that this speech it could be improved in this way. That one could be improved in the other way. Someone prepares chapatis. Now, when we eat chapatis, there is always some margin for improvement. Whatever we do, you arrange the sofas. Someone of you may think that we are bored by this kind of arrangement. Let us arrange it in a different way. That would be better. So always you want to change. And why you want to change? Because you have own vision or image of perfection. And that is why we have the habit of criticizing others. That is why partly we have discontentment with our own selves. Because we feel that we ourselves are not perfect. We commit some mistake and then we repent. Because we want to be perfect, we are aware that what we did was wrong, and therefore we feel sorry for it. So when perfection is our goal, therefore work for it. When you work for perfection, naturally the shortcomings, the loopholes, the weaknesses, the dark side of the personality, that would automatically change. It would be transformed. And Baba gives us some objects, some aims for perfection. In what things we should become perfect? One is that there are 36 divine qualities. Become perfect in all those divine qualities. And Baba calls this perfection by the name 16 degrees. Have 16 degrees full, all these divine qualities. How much work it is? How can we criticize others when we ourselves are not perfect? Baba says, don't complain, but try to become complete. No complaint, but become complete, Baba says. So that is for what we have to work. So One is Sarvagun Sampan. That is, try to attain all the divine qualities in you in full strength to the highest, to the maximum degree. The other is perfection in control of mind. In the sense, there should be no negative thinking, no leakage, no wastage. Sometimes we have waste thoughts. Much of the waste thinking might have been eliminated. But still sometimes some one or two thoughts may come which have no use, which are irrelevant, which perhaps have no purpose. Uninvited guests sometimes they enter. The thoughts also sometimes enter our mind like uninvited guests. Suddenly they appear. We open the door and we say, come and sit in. We make them sit in. Now, so happens. It is because we have not attained yet the self-control, complete self-control. Whatever we wish, that only happens. Whatever we planned, that only happens. Our thinking is not organized, systematic, integrated, completely free from all the negative and the waste thoughts. That kind of perfection requires a lot of hard work. And let us work for it. Sometimes we say, I am sorry, I did not mean it, it is just a slip of tongue. That again shows we don't have perfection. We have said something which we should not have said. Or we have said a good thing but not in proper words. Or we have used the proper words but not the proper tone. Or we have perhaps used the proper tone but not the proper gestures. So in one way or the other we are not perfect. We are to become perfect. We commit errors, we commit mistakes. People generally say man is liable to err. To err is human, they say. But we no longer think like that. We say we have to be error free. In our golden age, our aeroplanes would be foolproof. They would never have accidents. Our all actions would be without any accidents. Either it may be in human relationship or it may be because of the gadgets which we use. So we have to become completely free from error. That is possible only when our mind is completely clear. It is perfect in all the good qualities, good things. And as I was saying, we misunderstand. Very often we misinterpret. We do not properly realize. So we have to have perfection in that respect also. Even if somebody does not express himself or herself to us, we understand properly. Our mind has not become that crystal clear that we can understand who is who, what is what. So that kind of stage which we have to acquire. And then we have to maintain all the balances in our life. We have to attain that kind of perfection where Baba says we have the balance of love and law, balance of being Balak and Malak, being child and being the master. All these balances, we have to work for them. So when we devote our attention and energy to this, the process of transformation is automatically taking place. Now I come to the 14th. It is principles, morals. Everyone has an idea that he should follow some morals, some principles. When others do not follow some morals, some principles, they point out. They say, look, the way he did this thing was wrong. Principally wrong. Morally, it was wrong. Even a criminal would say, I stole a particular thing, I pilfered it. It is because the society has been unjust to me. It means he considers justice as a value. Justice as something which morally should be there. He thinks that the society is not following certain morals. So if he broke some moral, what is wrong with him? When the society itself is not following those principles. Because the society has deprived him of his due. And therefore, he had to steal. He is justifying. So this means, he thinks that things should be justified. He also thinks there should be fair play, there should be justice. He also thinks that everyone should be given the due or the right. Just by making this one statement, he is revealing his mind, at least he believes in these three principles. Similarly, anyone who makes any statement, if you just analyze that statement, you will find that every statement has some principles, some morals. You just make one statement. It is not without principles, not without morals. I have yet to see any statement made by any human being on any, in any country, any part of the world, which is not pregnant with some kind of morals, some kind of principles, even if they are in a hidden form. It comes from a mind which has some kind of a thinking. That is the difference between the matter and the soul. Soul is not only conscious, it is not only a point of consciousness. It has a moral dimension. It has some values. It has some principles. It may not be able to follow, but the core of the spirit, core of the soul has this divinity, that morality. We have to awaken it. It wants to follow some principles, but it finds difficult to follow. And now Baba gives us some morals, some principles to follow. Because there is in us the potential. There is in us an urge to follow morals and principles. We want everyone to follow morals and principles. Politicians always criticize that he is a politician without principles. Though they themselves also may not follow principles, but they want, they have an aspiration that politics should be based on principles. People say there is degeneration in values, in morals. Which means, in other words, that there should be morality. So, Baba now gives us some maryadas. What are maryadas? They are the God-given laws. There is a code of conduct, a code of moral or human or spiritual values which we must follow. Because each one of us wants to follow. The maryadas which others have given, all the founders of religions, all the political leaders, all the economic leaders, even economics is based on some principles. Even politics must, even democracy, any kind of government, any system of government has inherent in it or visualizes some kind of norms of human conduct. You may call it norms, you may call it principles, you may call it morals, you may call it values, you may call it by any other name, but it has it. Now Baba gives us a set of other principles to follow, which we call Ishwari Niyam, Niyam and Maryada, the Niyams, the laws and the Maryadas, the code of conduct. Now the 15th is name and fame. Everyone is an individual, and as an individual everyone has an identity, and everyone wants to maintain his identity, and as an identity it feels that it should have some kind of recognition in the society. He should be acknowledged. People should think that he is also worth something. His contribution to the society also has got some value. We do not want that people should underrate us or should think that we are cheaper than dust. They should understand that we also can make a valuable contribution. And this actually is the urge for name and fame. And I think it is only natural. Everyone wants name and fame. But it can be either in the good sense or in the bad sense. The word name and fame in our Brahmin terminology is not considered in good light. We think we should renounce it. We should not be after name and fame. It is because our aim should not be recognition. But our aim should be hard effort. But if wins recognition, we feel satisfaction. That is not bad. If we do something in a nice way and people say we liked it, then we feel that our efforts were fruitful. We did some useful thing. We think that our adopted a proper direction. But if someone makes a negative comment, we should not feel it. We should not feel depressed. So that is what is meant by saying that we should not try to have name and fame. Because anyone who has name and fame as his goal, then he would feel depressed and feel hurt if someone says, whatever you did was rubbish. It was no use at all. It was waste of money. If I always want praise, some kind of adoration from everyone, if I depend upon it, it becomes my dependence on some kind of an intoxication. Like some people depend upon some drugs, on alcohol. Now this is an alcohol or a drug to me. People must praise me. If for 2, 3, 4, 5 days people don't praise me, I become depressed. When Baba says you should not be after name and fame. Because if that is what you are depending upon, then it is a wrong attitude towards life. But recognition, we want this university should be recognized. Baba's work should be recognized. Our conferences should be recognized. People should like it. If we don't keep in our mind that people should like it, how can we give the best performance? But our object should be to give the best performance. Not necessarily expecting always the best comments. We should be prepared even for the worst. There we should have the tolerance. There we should not have the feeling in our mind, the bitter feeling. So, if we want that we should have recognition, our actions should be appreciated, people should be feeling that what we did was worth, it did have some value, then it helps us transform ourselves. I think it helps us. It speeds up our process. But the intention should be to become good persons, so that ultimately we find recognition. When Baba, for example, said at the end of tapasya year, he would give us prizes, for example. It is recognition. Because you did something, you obeyed Baba, and you worked for it, you became good persons, so there is the recognition. It is not the value of the monetary value of the prize, which is concerned. It is his word of appreciation. Even if he does not give you something grass, and he says, children, I am happy with your effort, it is a reward. It is the prize which he has given us. But that gives us an impetus for further work. So, what I wanted to say was that we should not think that name and fame is our objective, but we should try to reform, to transform ourselves so that we ultimately win recognition. Otherwise, what do we mean when we say Ashtadevta, the eight deities, or that there will be 108 who are victorious? Don't we want to come within that 108 in that rosary? That is recognition. So that you should work for that. Those 108 are famous. They have name and fame. Well known. Baba himself says. So therefore, that name and fame, that glorification would come ultimately. Automatically come. You have not to worry for it. You have not to hunger for it. Not to run after it. But you have to work for it. And that work for it is what is transformation. Otherwise, why you want to transform? Because you want to come within that rosary of 108. And then, we should try to achieve that objective by glorifying Baba, not glorifying ourselves. When we renounce something, we get it in manifold ways. And in abundance. As I was saying, giving is having. What we should do is not glorify ourselves, but glorify Baba, his work, his knowledge, whatever he is giving us. And in that glorification, when that golden aged world is established, we ourselves certainly get rewarded. That is the best reward. Now, the 16th is justice. Every one of us wants justice to be done to us. And so, naturally, we should do justice to others. Justice is something which every human being aspires. It is one of our needs. We do not need only food. We also need justice. Food is also a sign of justice. If we don't get food, if it is because there is no justice, then we cannot tolerate it. That is what people do. So, justice is a very important virtue. When we say God is knowledgeful, peaceful, blissful and so on, people very often say God is justice. And they say, if you have not done justice to me, if I did not get any justice from the highest of the court of the land, God will do the justice. Because final justice will be done in His court. He is just. So every one of us has this as one of the most brilliant values in our mind. Justice. Now Baba says, do justice to yourselves. That is the first thing. When you want justice, do justice to yourselves. You are not being just to yourself first. You are depriving yourself of so many rights, so many duties, so many dues. Then, sometimes we have to be three persons in one. Our mind says one thing, our intellect says another thing, our emotions say something, and our analytical faculty says another thing. Then there are two persons, as I was saying the other day. One is where the emotions are, the other is where the rationality is. Now I have to play the role of an observer. Between the mind and the intellect, I have to be a third person at the same time. Though the soul is the same, but different faculties are quarreling among themselves. Like two litigants come to a justice in a court with their own cases. Someone says, I did it because of this reason. The other one says, he did it wrong, so he must be punished. Both are presenting their case to the justice, who is an observer, who is a neutral person. He wants to see which one is according to the law, and he wants to decide. So we have ourselves to be our own judge, and you do justice to ourselves. Then only we don't require any outside judge. My mind is saying something, my emotions are saying something, my intellect is saying something. Now let me be neutral. The third person, the judge, the two cases are before me, and let me do justice. So when I say justice, justice in this respect also. Of course, but I am showing the neutrality. Now when the intellect is being partial, it is pleading its own case. It has its own brief to plead. It is its own advocate. And the emotions are their own advocate. Now I want to be judged listening to both the advocates to plead their case. After they have pleaded their case, now I want to be just a neutral person, impartial person, and put them in the balance, and then do justice. Me only. My emotions are me. My intellect is me. But having both the sides, after having listening to both the sides, now I am playing the neutral role. I am the same person, playing different roles. The same human being is a judge in the court. But when he comes back to his house, he is the husband of his wife. He is not the judge. If there he behaves as a judge, his son would not say, my lord. He would not just talk to him like one has to speak, address the court. He would say, my dad has come. Papa, how are you? The friends would behave with him as a friend. At that time when he is among the friends, they won't consider him as a magistrate. Because this is not the court. It is a tennis court where they are playing. So there the attitude has to be different. There he would not say, foul, put him in the jail. He would say, and now you are in the tennis court, forget about it. Not in the court. You can't do this. There when he is occupying the chair of the magistrate, he has the powers. But here, when he is a friend, he does not have that power. It was the chair. It was the job, the assignment which he was doing. So you have emotions. You are being carried by the emotions. You are pleading your own case as emotions. Suppose you play the drama. One person plays the role of emotions. Another person plays the role of the reason, the judgment, the intellect, saying, no, this emotion is wrong. And the third one, it plays the judge. So you are giving personification to the ideas and then making the background of a court, and the other person is judging. So these are our various aspects of our own personality. What I was trying to say was, to do justice means to become neutral, observer. Baba says Sakshi. Unless and until you become Sakshi, Baba cannot be your Sathi. That is what Baba has been saying. Baba will be by your side when you are an observer. If you have attachment not only with your body, attachment not only with your relatives, attachment not only to the goods and chattels in your house, but attachment to your ideas, attachment to your emotions. You may have a very good idea. You are fascinated. You are being carried. You have attachment. Similarly, you may have attachment with the emotion. Now, as a judge, become detached. Try to value each one of them and just make the judgment. Then only your actions will be good. That will bring the process of transformation. Don't we say sometimes to the people, don't become emotional. Now stabilize yourself and then talk to me. What do we mean? Now instead of somebody else doing it, let me, my own self, do it. That's what I mean. And when I say that justice is one of the values to which we pay attention, which we relish, which we aspire from others, which we expect, let me also be just. Let me do justice. If I do justice, why I say it is a process of transformation? I cannot have jealousy if I do justice. If I am fair to others, if they are making efforts and attaining some success, how can I become jealous? That is not justice towards them. They made some efforts, they achieved. So it is justified. Why should I be jealous? So you can transform yourself, you can eliminate jealousy from yourself when you become your own judge and tell your own self, why I am being jealous? After all, every cause leads to some effect. This person has this glorification, this success because made some efforts. It is the due. The reward was due. So why should I feel jealous? By being jealous, I will not be depriving that person. I will not be gaining anything. So let me be just and fair. As I would like people to be just and fair to me, I should also do justice. So by just thinking justice, focusing on justice, jealousy would finish. Similarly, selfishness would finish. Why we are selfish? We are not just. We don't do justice to others. We want to grab everything. If I want to do justice, then I would think, this is not my share. Let me be just to everyone. This belongs to somebody else. Why should I have it? So when justice is one of your qualities, which you want to attain, naturally there will be transformation. You won't be selfish. Much of the problem is because of selfishness. We are self-centered people. We love ourselves rather than love others. We can't give love to others because we ourselves want the love. We are empty within us. There is a vacuum. We want to possess and possess. It is a possessive society. We don't want to give, but to possess. And in order to eliminate this negative tendency, to change our sanskaras, to become liberal, generous, donors, giving vardhan, blessing others, this quality can come, at least you should become just. Give at least the due to others. Similarly, greed, which is one of the evils, one of our sanskaras, which we want to change. Greed cannot be changed unless and until you want to have justice. How can you have greed and justice both at the same time? They are opposite, as darkness and light. So the moment you think of justice, you cannot be greedy. You must do justice. So this one single quality of justice, this opens a new channel for transformation. Like you have many TV channels giving you various kinds of information, bringing on the screen various scenes from different parts of the world. Similarly, these 16 which I gave you are the channels which open you up to various kinds of transformation. And you perhaps may not be aware at that time that the transformation is taking place, but it does take place. So these 16 which I mentioned are the facilitatory factors, the positive ones which when you employ, they begin transformation. Now I would mention the inhibitory, as I was saying. This is one part of the effort. After realization and determination, I mentioned effort. And I said effort is of three kinds. One is the facilitatory, the other is the inhibitory, and the third is, you can say, the transformatory, or you can say the acceleratory, or whatever. Now I am just going to mention the inhibitory. How to stop the negative from coming up. This is what Baba uses in many murlis. Now, I have to be brief because I want to finish. Now, one of the things which serves as the inhibitory mechanism of transformation is the fear of punishment. Fear is a negative thing. We have to eliminate the fear. But fear can also do some good to us sometimes. It can inhibit the bad in us. Baba says, now I am the father. But if you don't obey me, if you don't transform yourself, if you don't become pure, then I will be Dharmaraj, the supreme adjudicator, the supreme judge. Then I will say that give him the punishment. Again, Baba says that being yogis, being those who know the law, you have the knowledge of what you should become. If you violate those principles, you will have 10 times the more punishment than the ordinary people because you know you intentionally violate. And if you intentionally violate being knowledgeable people, having been told directly by God, being aware of the law, If you violate it, then you will get many times the punishment. So it is touching the center of fear in us. Everyone has this kind of center. And Baba wants to use this center by appealing to it, by making us feel scared. And Baba says, so harsh, so severe will be the punishment. He also mentions it at quite some length. What punishment it will be? A tribunal will sit. They will judge. And Baba will say, I had warned you. The seniors will, sisters will say, I reminded you. But a number of times we asked you to change. You did not change. So now, give him the punishment. Baba has been saying like this. So, why Baba says this? To create that fear, that if we don't transform ourselves, people have been saying, spare the rod and spoil a child. But we are not adopting that kind of method. Baba is changing us by the method of love. But he is also making us aware that if we don't change, what the result will be? The punishment will be there. Because there is no law which does not prescribe some punishment. Because those who violate the law, if they don't get the punishment, then who is going to obey the law? Every law says, you must keep the left side of the road. Or in certain countries, you must drive your vehicle on the right side of the road. And if you don't do that, if policeman checks you and you are found in the wrong direction, this will be the punishment. It's human nature. Every law mentions that if someone who violates the law, what will be the punishment? So Baba gives us some maryadas, some niyams, some principles, some observances which we must practice. And if we don't practice, the highest authority having awakened and made us aware of it, if still we disobey, if we voluntarily disobey, then this will be the punishment. Baba also says, if you disobey me, if you violate this divine law, the highest law, having been reminded again and again, your intellect will be locked. Maya will lock your intellect. You won't be able to judge what is right, what is wrong. It is the severest punishment. One who has lost his judgment, it is the severest punishment. If someone has a disease, it can be cured. After suffering for a while, one may again become a little bit of normal. But if one's judgment is gone, the intellect has become stone-like, that sense of proportion, sense of discrimination, of judging between right and wrong has gone. Everything has gone. One is totally deprived of one's inheritance. Baba says, then we find that one, when one violates laws intentionally, one has irritative nature. One is very disrespectful. One has so many other bad things in life which show that his intellect has been locked by Maya. Now the key of the lock is in the hands of the Maya. Because he has ceased to give his intellect to Baba and now is following his own manushmat, his own opinion. This is another punishment Baba makes us aware of and wants to create fear in us. This will happen. Every teacher also gives punishment to the students. Either he fines him, or he marks his absence in the register, or the student is not allowed to appear in the examination because he is short of the attendance, number of attendants, so on and so forth. Or he has violated the discipline of the university, he is extricated from the university. There is some punishment, always. So Baba also, ultimately, after being loveful, there is, after all, some kind of an order, law, which has to be obeyed. Sometimes Baba says, if after being yogis, after being Brahmins, after understanding that purity is your foundation of Brahmin life, if again you violate this purity, it is like falling from the 8th floor of the building. Such will be the fracture of the soul, not of the body. Because after having stored your energy, after having labored, having done so much of hard effort, to attain chastity, purity, having become immaculate, then you violate it. Then your mind will be so much polluted, so much will be the deprivation in your mind of the happiness. You will feel exactly as somebody who has fallen from the 8th floor feels, bleeding, fractured, grievously hurt, unable to stand on the legs now, anymore. So Baba makes us aware. Children, This is the first law. Don't be body conscious. To the extent of indulging into a sexual act. As Brahmins, you should never be, even never think of it, never dream of it. This is the first foundation, the fundamental of the Brahmin life. If you violate this commandment, this will be the punishment. So he tells us what are the benefits and what is the punishment. So this one, the fear of punishment, is the one inhibitory mechanism which stops if ever we have some negative thinking. When we think what will be the punishment, then we think, and what will be the reward, then we are able to judge better sometimes. The other, second one is shame. Everyone has a sense of shame. There is not a single individual who does not have shame. Shame is a negative factor. But Baba uses this to transform, to change. Shame. When someone does a wrong act, people say shame, shame. See? But in what way Baba uses it? When we feel, if we do this kind of act, what will the Brahmin family say, what we did? How we will show our face? We will lose our image. How do we look into the eyes of Baba? Just stand in front of him. We will shake if we do this kind of act which Baba has forbidden. So this sense of shame prevents us from any bad act, grossly bad act, because the sense of shame is there and Baba awakens. Baba says, kul ki maryada. You belong to the Brahmin kul, Brahmin clan, Brahmin dynasty. And belonging to the Brahmin dynasty, if you do something which is utterly wrong, then you should have a feeling of remorse, a feeling of shame. You will lose your image. The people before whom you have been talking so much, if they come to know that inwardly you have been so bad, that you did such bad act which could never be expected of you, so you feel shame. So before that, if the feeling of shame comes, no, I will never do this. It is shame for me if I do this. That feeling prevents you. It is inhibitory. It inhibits that bad thought just at the source, at the root. What will the public say? He is a Brahma Kumar, a Brahma Kumari. The university talks so much of what education it is giving, how it is changing the behavior of the other people. And this person says he is a Brahma Kumar or a Brahma Kumari, and just see his behavior. So in the presence of the public, I would not like to talk in a way so that people have an occasion to comment on the whole institution. Because at this moment in the white dress, I am representing them with the badge on. So it is a sense of shame which protects me from being utterly degraded. At least it checks me. Even if something slips from my mouth, I am suddenly aware, I should not do further anything. It would harm the reputation of our institution. I am aware of the reputation we have to maintain, the standard after all. So it is the sense of shame which inhibits. The third is anxiety. Anxiety is a bad thing. I am telling all those things which we generally consider bad. But they play the inhibitory role. Anxiety. We should not have anxiety. On the other hand, we tell people that meditation frees our mind from anxiety. But there is some kind of anxiety which is for our good. Baba says, have no other anxiety, no other worry. But there is so much of karmic account which is to be finished. Have this anxiety. It should worry you. Not worry in the worldly sense. Don't take it in that negative grass sense. This kind of a thing. Salt may not be good to be used, but some salt in certain quantity and certain kinds of salt may be necessary for our health. So some certain things which are bad may be good in certain ways to certain extent. This Baba generally says in the Murli, hame ona hona chahiye, fikrat hona chahiye. Because there is so much of load we are carrying of our past sins on our head. And time left is very small, very little, very short. Therefore, we have to do hard work to finish that and to meditate intensely so as to offload that. So this kind of, it is not exactly anxiety or worry, but perhaps there is no other word in the dictionary, either in the Brahmin dictionary or in the worldly dictionary, which should replace it. So we have to understand its proper connotation when I use this word anxiety or worry. Not in the traditional sense. Pardon? Concern is also, of course, something near to that, but not, it does not convey that. Bhava also means a touch of worry, you see. But it is not that worry which eats our vitality. That kind of thing. Then another is hatred. Hatred is also a bad thing. But it also sometimes works as an inhibitory mechanism. We become fed up with the worldly things, with rituals, with scriptures, which are like novels, with gurus. So it is not exactly hatred which we have developed for them, but it is a kind of aversion, repulsion, rejection you may say. That would be a better word. We reject them, we no longer like them. Since we don't like them, therefore we say it is hatred, but actually it is not hatred. We are not no longer interested in them. That kind of attitude, which has a touch of hatred perhaps, because we no longer feel any kind of a relationship with them, anything to do with them, we have rejected them from our life. Bhava says, ye sab chichi hai, chichi. Chichi means bad. When someone is polluted, we say, he is chichi. Someone is good, we say gul gul. Anyone who is fresh, who is pure, we say gul gul. Gul means actually the flower. But we also use it in metaphorical sense, gul gul, good. And the reverse of it, chichi, bad. To a child who has not yet understood the language in its all nuances, we simply say to the child, this is chichi. It means it is bad. Because the very sound shows that it is bad. Chichi, chichi. That shows it is bad. So, this kind of an attitude, Baba says, it will prevent some kind of an action. These actions are chichi. So, you give them up. Then, another is repentance. Baba says, you must do prayaschit. Repentance gives you a feeling of remorse. A sad feeling. A feeling of guilt. But Baba says, no, let past be past. Don't live in the past. Don't go on living in the memory of what you did was wrong. Because otherwise it will lengthen its duration. That also is not good, sanskar wise. It would create another negative sanskar in you. But repentance in the sense, this again has no other better word, in the sense that you have made up your mind that never in future you will do this. Correction of course, but repentance has a different connotation, different sense. It conveys differently. But what I was saying was, a touch of remorse. It was really bad what happened. We should not have done it. It was chichi, you see. So we repent that it was something wrong. We realize we will not do it. Then another thing is forgetting. Some people are short of memory. Very often we forget things. Forgetting also may be good, may be bad. But in this sense, since we take the new birth, we are newly born. And just as a person who takes a new birth, forgets the past relatives, past house, articles, objects, past events, after having taken a new birth, it opens a new chapter of life, new life. Similarly, we use forgetfulness as a tool to take new life. Otherwise, we have not taken the Brahmin life. A real Brahmin is one who has forgotten his past and opened a new chapter of life. The past is dead. I am a newly born. Die from the past. This kind of attitude. So forgetfulness in that sense. That is the real new birth. Then another is anger. Baba says you have to fight a war against the evil. We are at war with Maya, very often he says. We are at war with Maya. Because it makes us alert, active. Just as the people, the armies give the red alert. The full preparedness of the army when it is suspected that the enemy will attack. So they have to be fully in a state of preparedness so that they can counter-attack or defend themselves. Now Baba says you are at war with Maya so that you are alert that Maya cannot take you unawares. You should watch and be prepared to give a good fight to Maya. So you are at war and no war is without anger. A little bit of touch of anger is there in every war. And here, when you consider Maya as your enemy, it is not anger in that traditional sense again, as I was saying. But you have some kind of a repugnance, some kind of a opposition, you may say, all right, no hatred, no anger, but opposition to Maya. That spirit is there. That is why you say that Maya is your enemy and you want to fight Maya, that you are at war with Maya. So in that sense I am saying anger. We all have anger. We want to transform it. Now use that anger, make best out of the waste, as I was saying. Anger is a waste thing, now we want to finish. But use a little bit of anger, a touch of anger, for fighting the Maya. Ultimately you have to give that up either. But in the beginning when you are transforming yourself, you are using it. Later on you are to get above from even this. Another is death. We have to die from the past. We have to kill our that kind of an awareness of our past. Everyone, they say, has a death wish. There comes a time in life when people think living life is not worth living. It's no more need to live, we have fulfilled it. Now use that kind of a psychological bent to die from your past. Then another is ambitiousness. Everyone has an ambition, has a desire. Now let that ambition or desire be used in a positive sense. Let us be ambitious to have more and more points of knowledge, gems of knowledge. Be ambitious to have more and more divine qualities. Ambitious to do more and more service. Use this for just stopping the other negative things at their source. Ambition to come among the 108. Similarly, you can say greed. Greed for knowledge. Greed for, Baba says, sab lobh kharab hai. All greed is bad. But this kind of lobe, this kind of greed is okay. That you want to have more and more divine qualities and so on. Another is dissatisfaction. That also has become our trait in this period at the end of Iron Age. We have one or the other kind of dissatisfaction. Now dissatisfaction is a bad thing. It is a bad negative quality. But in the beginning, in order to transform yourself, if you are dissatisfied with your present achievement, that is what gives you impetus to improve yourself. If I just am 100% satisfied with my present state, I cannot make further efforts. In order to make further efforts, I have to think that whatever I have achieved is very little. I should have that kind of dissatisfaction. Again, not dissatisfaction in the traditional sense. All these words have to be interpreted in the new, in the positive sense, in the sense of spiritual knowledge. Then again, jealousy. Baba says, you enter into this race. Now, not race, he says, but race. Someone is making good progress in spirituality, in service, in renunciation, in being good, in so many other ways. So, sometimes people say, I am jealous. Therefore, they have bitterness. They have that kind of a negative feeling. But just trying to have that, what this person has, what we say is sweet jealousy, not that kind of jealousy, sweet jealousy, which means entering into the race, so that this person is making sincere and good efforts, I make better efforts. So it is better to call it race rather than jealousy. But that spirit of seeing others making progress, why not I also make progress? Worldly people call it jealousy, but this is a sweet kind of thing, better kind of thing, race as we call it. Another is creativity and reproduction. That is why some people say we want to have companion. This is another, to have companion. That, alright, we want to have marriage. And after marriage also we would lead a pure life. But we certainly need some kind of a companion. This kind of a basic human need, feeling is sometimes there. And this therefore leads people ultimately to a negative behavior. But Baba says, sometimes we postpone certain things for a future. Even when someone wants to marry, one defers this decision until one has found an appropriate companion. One waits. So Baba says you should think that you would have companion in the golden age, like Lakshmi or like Narayana. Because the human beings in this age have so much of negativity. So how can you make their companion? Now in this life you marry God. Therefore Dadi was mentioning of that ring this morning also. Now we have our marriage of mind with God. And in future we wait. So that, of course, if companionship is a human need, We want a proper, appropriate kind of a companion. That would be in golden age. We defer the decision. That kind of thing. Similarly, when I was saying reproduction, people feeling that we should have a child, many people have this kind of a feeling initially when they come to Jnana. Then Baba says, do this kind of reproduction. I mean, bring people to knowledge. This kind of creation. Not that kind of procreation, but this kind of procreation. Become the world mother. I have given you the 16 inhibitory factors, but I would like to say two more factors, because what happens is, after making progress in transformation, sometimes we find that we get stuck up. The transformation stops. And one of the reasons perhaps is that when we see that other people have some negative things and we get discouraged, we lose our spirit, lose our speed. We think others are also like this. Those who have been in Jnana for so many years, if they have anger, if they have greed, if they are after name and fame, we are just new entrants to this. So it doesn't matter. So this again brings slackness and carelessness in us. And carelessness and slackness are our worst, our most powerful enemies. Carelessness and slackness, non-seriousness. These are inimical to us. So we get stuck up, we make no progress. And therefore I would say, remember always these two things if we want to continue with our progress. One is, we have to follow Baba. We have always to keep Baba before us, not any human being. If one is not making progress, so how does it mean that we should not make any progress? Why should it stop us from making progress? We have to become Bab Saman, that is our real objective. This is one of the important things which we should never miss from our attention. Don't try to follow and copy or imitate, however senior a sister or a brother may be, he or she is not the ideal. Your ideal is Brahma Baba. Try to follow him. Then the second is, in self-transformation lies the world transformation. Don't think others are also not changing, so if I also don't change, if my speed is not that good, so how does it matter? But always put the self before this world in this sense, that self-transformation will bring the world transformation. If you miss any one of these two, then there will be a relapse. The transformation was taking place perhaps more speedily than even we expected initially, but then at some point it stopped because we missed any one of these points. Then when I was mentioning about the transformative factors, I would not be taking many of them, but only one of them, which very often Baba mentions in the Murli, it is the goal. The transformation starts when you have a goal. Because our action, our behavior is always goal-oriented. Our lifestyle is goal-oriented. Baba says in beautiful words, jaisa laksh, vaise lakshan. As the goal, so will be the qualities in you. As the vision, so will your behavior be. Therefore, when we make our goal that we will become like angels, we will become like deities who have the 16 degrees divine qualities, we will become satoguni rather than iron-aged, then all these qualities begin to come. Other things follow. Thank you so much. Om Shanti.